Hello, world, and welcome to Live from Ordinary Miracles. My name is Matt Kramer, and my co-host, Jan Sircone, is off having fun someplace else in the universe tonight. Maybe she's listening in, so I'll say all good things about her, like I always do. For those of you who are new, we are broadcasting our show from a little health center in downtown Cotati, California. We're located about an hour north of San Francisco. We're in beautiful Sonoma County, wine country, and beautiful mountain. Today there was snow, and Sonoma County very seldom gets snow. That tells you how cold it is here. Our show, Live from Ordinary Miracles, primarily focuses on sound and healing, and that's a pretty broad palette. The reason we talk about sound and healing is that Jan does something called voice bio, and she records your voice, and from the frequencies in your voice, how that resonates with your health, because your body, in a sense, is a musical instrument. She can give you a lot of information about what's going on with your health and how working with tones can do some balancing and help you gain or regain health. My contribution to the world of sound and healing is I do something called voice mapping. And where Jan works with the physiology of the body, I work more with the emotional connection. So if you're having a voice mapping session, you will talk for about 30 seconds into a microphone, and because the frequencies in your voice are impacted by memory muscle connections, when you talk about something specific, you will get a very specific voice map showing you the emotional history connected, or the emotions attached to the emotional history. And then by feeding that back to you in a biofeedback process, that helps surface and release emotional blockages that may have been inhibiting you or redirecting you all your life without you knowing it. So that's a very short version. If you want to learn more about voice mapping, you can go to mattkramer.com, mattkramer.com. And if you want to learn more about what Jan does with voice bio, her website is called musicforjoyandhealing.com. musicforjoyandhealing.com. We have a very fun and informative guest tonight, Dr. Brandi McCanns. And Brandi is a chiropractor who uses a rather unique non-force technique, which is called bioenergetic synchronization. And I didn't know what it was called that when I had a session with her. I just know I felt a lot better walking out than I did walking in. And we're going to bring Brandi on as our guest. And are you ready, Brandi? Okay. Say hello to our audience.
Hi.
And that's the dulcet tones of Brandi McCanns. So, Brandi, can you explain for somebody, kind of in layman's terms, who's never heard of you before, what do you do?
Thank you for asking. That's a great question. I've been trying to answer that myself for a long time. It's actually, I am a chiropractor, but I practice a non-force chiropractic technique.
Would you explain non-force?
Absolutely. And rather than traditional chiropractic, which is focused on moving bones to realign the spine and the joints, non-force chiropractic relates to the nervous system and the energetic systems of the body to remove interference that may be keeping us stuck in a pattern or a symptom.
Okay. And when you were working with me, it was a combination of kinesiology and you were moving my legs at some point. Maybe we can go back historically. You used to be a traditional chiropractor?
Yes, I sure did. I graduated in 98 and from Texas Chiropractic College and went into traditional chiropractic care. But I began to realize that not everyone responds to chiropractic care the way I would have liked them to.
What would be the difference? Maybe, I don't know if there's a percentage you can assign to it. As a traditional chiropractor, what's your goal?
I presume for all chiropractors or anyone in the healing arts, the goal is to help the patient move into a greater state of healing.
Okay, so somebody comes into you and say, my back's hurting or my shoulder's hurting, and when you're working with the bones, I assume you're relieving pressure?
Yes, there's nerves that get impinged by certain subluxations or misalignments in the bony structure, and by moving the bones back into place, it can relieve pressure off the nerves.
Okay, and then why would you not have success with some people? Or do you know?
Well, what I noticed is that someone may come in with a specific subluxation and I adjust it, or a specific symptom like a headache, and then they leave fine, but when they come back, the same exact symptom or the same exact subluxation shows up. And so as I began to do my research, what I began to realize is that, first of all, the way the body's put together, we have our bones, and muscles are attached to the bones, and nerves control the muscles.
And the muscles control the bones.
Exactly. So if we've got tension or stress in the nervous system, and it causes the muscles to tighten up, it can pull the bones out of place.
So I'm getting it's a question of which direction is the stress coming from. If somebody doesn't have good posture at work, you know, they're kind of causing that pressure on the spine, subluxation from that direction, and that affects the muscles, affects the nerves. But you're saying it goes both ways. They can start with the nerves.
Yeah, absolutely. So if I go in and I adjust someone with traditional subluxation treatment, it's very likely if we don't remove the stress off of the nervous system that it's going to cause the muscle to tighten back up and the bone's going to be pulled right back out of place, causing a lot of frustration not only for myself but obviously for the patient as well.
Okay. You said you went to Texas. Which school?
Texas Chiropractic College.
And where is that in Texas?
It's in Pasadena, just south of Houston.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a Pasadena in Texas.
Yeah.
Do you have a Rose Parade?
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Well, there's a Pasadena in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
And there's the Rose Parade on New Year's Day every year, which is...
Oh, no, we don't have a Rose
Parade. All right. I know I'm throwing you out of context here. I have to say that Brandy's being very brave because she was kind of walking by me just before the show started, and I said, I need a guest. And she said, okay. So how does a young woman from Pasadena, Texas, get into chiropractic work?
Well, you know, I was really just looking for my way, and, you know, it's really interesting. I didn't intend on being a chiropractor when I got into chiropractic work. My intention was to become a veterinarian.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And at the time, my grades weren't quite there to get me into vet school, so they said, if you have a degree, you'll certainly get in. So I thought, well, shoot, you know, there's a chiropractic college down the street. I'll just go to chiropractic school, get a degree, and then I'll go back to veterinarian school. And
your grades didn't have to be as good to work on humans as it did to work on animals.
Evidently not.
Okay.
Right.
A lot of my friends have great respect for that.
I bet.
Including my wife. Yes.
So I decided to get into chiropractic college, and I ended up loving it. I thought it was the best thing ever. I was totally into it. I'm all about natural healing and natural health, and finding a way without drugs and surgery is an option for me, and it's actually an option for everyone. It's just that not everyone knows that yet. And so one thing leads to another, and the realization and the frustration of not being able to help all my patients in a way that I truly desire to led me into another path. And
well, before we go there, I'm still curious about the process of being a new person in chiropractic school.
Oh, okay.
Only as a secondary choice, not as a primary. And I know there's different kinds of chiropractic work, and I don't quite understand the differences. I don't know if you're able to explain those. Because I've heard of network chiropractic and...
Yes, there's all different kinds of traditions. There's network, there's Gonstead. There's just basically different people have developed a different way to address subluxation.
So it's all about moving bones, but here's the way I move a bone, here's the way that other guy moves a bone.
Yeah. Now, it's not all about moving bones, because network, from my understanding, which I'm not versed in that at all, is a non-force technique as well, I believe.
It's not a multi-level program.
Mm.
Okay,
I'm
just checking.
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, what surprised you when you got into chiropractic school? Was there anything that just went, oh, I didn't know that?
Yeah, it surprised me to learn that the body heals itself, because I grew up in the medical model.
You mean we don't need drugs?
Well, yeah, you know, evidently. I found that out. You know, I grew up in knowing that when I get sick, I go to the doctor and I get antibiotics. Or if I have a pain, I go find out why and ask them to...
Let somebody else do it for you.
Exactly, exactly. And I thought that's what we had to do. And it's not true.
Okay. So how long were you working as a chiropractor?
Just over 2 years.
And that was enough time to see a trend.
Absolutely.
That wasn't working for you.
Mm-hmm.
So... From there, how did you discover the next step?
Well, I ended up, it was an accident, actually.
Usually is.
Yeah, right. I ended up, I was on my way out of chiropractic, and I was just doing some fill-in work for doctors when they'd go on vacation and this kind of thing. And I realized one day that, oh, my license is about to expire. And so I had no choice but to get my continuing education credits on a specific weekend, or I was done, right? I couldn't work.
You had to go back to being a veterinarian.
Exactly. And so whatever class was being offered in my area was what I showed up for. And it said soft touch technique, and I figured, shoot, I could probably use a little, you know, softness in my practice. So,
especially in Texas.
Yeah. So I showed up, and I met a doctor there, and he said, if you have some patients who can't get over the hump, bring them in because what we're doing works. And it was this best stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm out of here. Nice to meet you, but whatever. I ended up going home, and at the time I was married to a man who had tennis elbow. And it was so severe, he couldn't zip his pants or open a door.
And you'd done your chiropractic work to help him with it?
For a year and a half.
A year and a half working on just the elbow?
A year and a half, absolutely. I did everything I knew to do, and it wasn't working. So I finally, I was like, you know, I met this doctor who says he knows something I don't. What I'm doing is not working. Let's go check it out. So I took him down there, and Dr. Stones was his name. He's an amazing man. He's a master practitioner at bioenergetic synchronization technique.
Okay, so you said that very quickly. I have to say that I put Brandy's website on our website. So if you go to, well, you're there, bbsradio.com/ordinary miracles. If you scroll to the bottom, you'll see Brandy's website. And I left out the word best. BEST, it was all happening so fast. So I just heard you say bioenergetic
synchronization technique.
And that's best.
That's best.
Okay.
Yes.
Continue.
Thank you. And basically I took him in and Dr. Stone says, hey, why don't you get the work too so you understand what we're doing?
How was your health at that time?
Well, in my opinion at that time, I didn't think there was anything wrong.
I know that feeling.
I didn't know there was anything to fix. I mean, everything that I had going on, I took drugs for, so, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Drugs made everything just perfect.
Yeah, of course. And I didn't have any pain in my body at that moment, so I was like, well, okay, I'll check it out. And interestingly enough, within a short period of time, I began overcoming some of the things I was told I was going to have to live with the rest of my life.
For example?
The biggest thing I noticed was I overcame bipolar manic depressive disorder.
That's not a little thing.
No, it's not.
So what you kind of, if I could ask, what kind of drugs were you on at that time?
Lithium, Wellbutrin. Sometimes I went back and forth from the Wellbutrin to the Prozac.
But it sounds like you were fairly responsible, in other words, to get through school and be a practitioner. Because I know there are bipolar people who resent and stop taking their meds and have episodes. But it sounds like you were probably pretty religious about it.
Oh, don't worry. I had my resentment, and I had my choice of not taking the drugs. When I was in a manic state, I didn't think I needed it. And, of course, who wants to be dependent on anything and to think that you can't maintain your own sanity? It's really scary. And for me, it was life-threatening. And what happened was that, of course, in this condition, my parents and my friends would have to ask me, are you taking your medicine? Have you been taking your medicine? Have you been taking your medicine? And one day my friend asked me that, and I realized I hadn't taken it in 3 days, and I just simply forgot it, which is odd because it was, I had to have it to live, to be functional in the world.
But your friend noticed things that you weren't aware of enough to ask you that question.
Yeah. For some reason, she asked me, and I looked at her, and I just couldn't believe it that I had forgotten it for 3 days. And I just told her, I said, I don't know, I just forgot. Now, there's a difference in choosing not to take it
okay.
and forgetting.
This is before or after you started doing BEST?
That was after I started doing the work with Dr. Soane.
So he was working with you in regard to the bipolar?
Actually, no, he wasn't. I never told him I had that.
He didn't know it?
He didn't know I had that.
So why was he working with you?
You know, it's interesting because the BEST work works with the subconscious. And it's a systemized approach to healing when the doctor reads the body and goes with what the body tells him to do.
Okay.
So I never actually have to express anything to him that's really going on with me.
Okay.
It's when you start working, it best addresses the true cause of what's going on in the body, brings the body into a greater state of healing, and makes it unnecessary for the drug.
Would it be that as a practitioner, you can see what's in and out of balance with the body?
Absolutely.
And so what you're doing is saying, okay, I feel energies out of balance, and let's balance those energies, not knowing or really being concerned what they're connected to, because bringing you into balance is the healing the body's looking for.
You got it.
Okay. By the way, what is tennis elbow?
Tennis elbow? Epicondylitis would be the medical terminology for it, but it's an elbow condition that is really painful. So it's from overuse.
Not necessarily tennis.
Not necessarily tennis. No, my husband didn't play tennis. So he worked with his arms a lot,
mm-hmm.
lifting things, and he got a very sensitive elbow and couldn't lift after a while. So
you'd feel a muscular pain as your...
It's more of a tendinitis kind
okay.
of pain.
All right. So how long did you work with the doctor before you started seeing a change?
Me?
We'll talk about the tennis elbow first.
Oh, okay. You know, I don't really know his story, to be honest with you. It's almost like... Well, it is like when you start resolving things, you begin not realizing they're there anymore. They're not there. You don't realize they're gone. You just realize that you're in a new place.
But hopefully you're appreciating that new place.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
The absence of pain as I try to dip my pants.
Yeah. I don't know how long it took him to resolve it. We both saw Dr. Soane twice a week for, 3 or 4 months that I can remember. After that, I began thinking, wow, not only did I overcome bipolar manic depressive disorder, I haven't taken my drugs in 8 years. I've also lost weight. My hormones have balanced out. I was 10 sizes bigger than I am now.
10 sizes?
10 sizes.
What does that look like? It's like 2 U's?
Yeah.
This is a very beautiful woman, by the way, in front of me, in very, very slender shape.
Thank you. And my weight had always been a struggle for me. So for it to just kind of go and not come back is really huge. I actually had pain in my body. I was being diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up in bed sick every 4 to 6 weeks with some kind of flu, strep throat, something, right?
From what age to what age?
Probably since I was 22 to 28.
So just all of a sudden, something came on. You're just going through a cycle of sickness and recovery. And
yeah, it seemed like I would catch everything anybody had. You know.
And nobody could really tell you why.
No.
Other than saying it was autoimmune.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then you were 28 when you started seeing, what was the doctor's name?
Maybe 27. Dr. Soane.
Dr. Soane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 27. So.
Okay, so the doctor does his work. But what do you do? Do you gain some increased awareness about what your body needs?
You actually, as a patient, you do. You begin becoming more aware and more conscious. So it basically, we make our choices and our reactions and our experience based on past experience.
Okay?
And so what happens is those past experiences, be them positive or negative, get stored in our subconscious. And our subconscious, according to Guyton's medical physiology, runs 99% of our bodily functions.
Well, I don't have to remind myself to breathe. I don't have to tell my blood to circulate.
Right.
I don't have to tell my stomach to do its digestion.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And we've got processes that are constantly happening, just trillions of them all over the body that are controlled by the subconscious. And it just so happens the subconscious uses these past experiences and programs to run the body.
Well, that's a direct correlation to what happens in voice mapping, where we make decisions sometimes at a subconscious level, not in our best interests, maybe, but because of an experience we had earlier in life, when our coping skills were only so developed that we developed a way to deal with whatever that stress or trauma was. And later, when we're actually able to make better decisions, we still revert back to something juvenile at a subconscious level.
Exactly. Yeah. And it impedes so much for so many people. I have a young lady that I'm working with now who, when she was younger, she was brutally raped by a friend of hers because she thought she was a friend.
So there's betrayal as well as violation.
Yeah, and that was like 15 years ago. And she still, to this day, doesn't date. And she, 'cause she's living in this fear of it happening again.
Mm-hmm.
And the great, I'm so excited to be working with her because what Beth does is it takes us out of responding to past emotional stressors as if they're happening right now and gives us the ability to be in a place of choice in the present moment.
Right.
Be in a place of consciousness and awareness that, oh, I can make a new choice for myself.
Yeah, you could actually look at what signs did she miss with that person 15 years ago. You know, and if she sees those signs again, as opposed to being afraid of everybody no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And that's where her work comes in. You ask, where does the patient's work come in? And
uh-huh.
That's her work, because the question... And Dr. Mortar, who developed bioenergetic synchronization technique, is an amazing man. He's actually written a couple of books. One's called Dynamic Health. And The Soul Purpose is another book.
How do you spell Dr. Mortar?
M-O-R-T-E-R.
T-E-R.
Yes.
So we can find him on the web if we...
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
At Mortar.com.
Mortar.com, okay.
Mm-hmm. And he goes into the philosophy behind what I'm speaking of now. But and every experience we have is an opportunity to learn and grow.
Hopefully. I mean, I agree with you. There's opportunity in even the worst of experiences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when we can come into that place of realization that, oh, this experience happened to me, no matter how bad it may have seemed at the time, for me to grow in this way, then we can be grateful for it and we can let it go. But until then, we keep holding on to it like it's something we're fighting against. And we're not able to move into a greater state of being, and we're still limited by it in some way. So it's my job as a practitioner to remove the subconscious interference and guide the patient into how can she move about beyond it conscious on a conscious level. So now her work, her homework this weekend is, how can I be grateful for this experience, which was so horrific for her, because all she was doing was sitting there, and it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I basically attacked her. So, you know.
And you haven't heard her answer for that yet?
No, I will hear it Monday.
Well, we'll have you back on the show sometime.
Okay, yeah.
Tell us about some other cases you've had that have been eye-opening.
You know, I work with all kinds of people. Being that everything manifests from the quantum field, this work is actually based in quantum physics. And this physical reality that we're in right now is just, all these things are effects.
Okay, let me stop there. People hear the phrase quantum physics. I doubt one person in 100 could tell you what it is. And can you tell us what it is?
Quantum physics is the study of things smaller than an atom.
Okay.
Okay, so if we were to take your pencil and break it down to its smallest parts, we would have atoms, right?
Electrons and, well, smaller molecules are the atoms. Within the atoms are electrons, protons, and nuclei.
And then what if we break down the protons, neutrons, and nuclei?
And I've heard the words and I forget them, quark.
Right, and essentially that's a formless thing that is basically what?
Energy.
Energy, absolutely. And so all things that you look around and look at manifest from that.
And well, and all things in that case are frequency.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so I forgot your question.
Well, how to explain to the layperson what is quantum mechanics?
Okay.
Quantum physics.
Quantum physics, yes. And basically, it's the study of the quantic field. Okay, the field of all potentiality, that unlimited, boundless field that all things manifest from. And it's really interesting because when you think of, you know, when you think of that as something that's very, very small, right? But really, when you think of someone who takes a quantum leap, what is that?
Well, it's unprecedented. They go to some place they didn't expect to go to.
Exactly, which is far beyond anything they could have imagined, right?
The limits they allowed themselves originally.
Yeah, absolutely right, exactly. And so it's a huge encompassing study of all that is.
Okay, so how do you see this energy when you're working with a client?
I actually evaluate the body and see how the body is responding to thought. Because all of our thoughts are either taking us towards wellness or away from it.
Okay, that's interesting. Towards us or away from it, because ideally we want to be well.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we have thoughts going away from wellness?
Because we were programmed as children to think that we weren't capable, we weren't good enough, we're not worthy, we're women, we're men, you can't do it, I failed math, so I must be a failure, you know, all these things, you know, I'm worthless, whatever. And these recordings keep playing over and over again, and they make us sick.
It's amazing, again, with the work I do with voice mapping, when one of the things I ask people is, talk about teachers who've impacted you in positive and negative ways. And there's been so many teachers that have said such detrimental and done such detrimental things to children. And that's some of the wounding that I think a lot of us carry as we move through society.
Absolutely.
So that's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we do. We carry it with us. And we carry it on our shoulder or in our subconscious, and we imagine that it's going to happen again. So we run around living in this place of fear, and
mm-hmm.
we're afraid to actually move into a place of greater being or move into a place of wellness. You know, another thing is I've seen some people who really are benefiting from their sickness.
Well, I see people that are addicted to their sickness and they wouldn't know what to replace it with.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, it's a great process to help people come into an awareness and understanding that they actually have the power to change that.
Boy, do I have somebody for you.
Perfect.
Actually, I've referred you to a few people. I know that they've been pretty happy.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes.
So when I say, how does it work? We've been answering that question.
How does it work? It works in a way that it removes subconscious emotional interference that keeps us stuck. So if we have a knee pain that's not healing, or if we have a relationship that's not healing, or if we tend to get the same boyfriend with a different name, there's a reason.
Oh, yes.
There's a reason. And so what the work does is it removes the interference that keeps recreating those processes for us so we can actually experience something different.
If somebody is... No, I know my experience was you had me lay on a table and you're doing some kinesiology, and from that kinesiology you're making a decision. Because I'm still trying to, because I don't know, again, even though I've had a session with you, all I can say is, well, she did some kinesiology and she moved my legs and I felt better.
Yeah, right, that's typical. Okay, so essentially, when the kinesiology is allowing me to evaluate how your body's responding to thought. So I had you think about things, and then I tested you.
And you say strange things. You put two words, strange words, together, if I remember, and I have to think about those two words.
Yes. And that is basically when I find that there's one of your thoughts is causing weakness in your body, then am addressing the subconscious. I'm basically communicating with the subconscious intelligence that built your body and that healed your body, and it's giving me information. I'm actually, my consciousness is not making decisions. I don't make the only decision I make is to show up. I let source do the rest.
It's kind of like I'm laying there and you're having a conversation with my subconscious, and I don't know what's going on, but you're having this conversation.
You got it. You got it. And the subconscious gives me the answers to unlock the interference. And that shows up in the form of a word and a number that's put together. And it's simply because the interference, since all things are energy, the interference is energy as well, right?
Okay, yes.
Okay, so the words have energy, and numbers have energy. And when we put a word and a number together, it creates a specific frequency that negates the interference.
Okay, I know that a lot of us are not aware of the impact of our words, either that we say to others or how we allow ourselves to be impacted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're picking up on resistance in the body,
mm-hmm.
and you're reprogramming it in a sense.
Absolutely. It's just like a computer. Absolutely. If you have a computer that's running on an old program, this may not be as fast. You may not get to communicate with the other programs the way you'd like to. And we can update that, right? You just delete the old file, put in a new file, and you're running Mac OS.
Okay. So what do you say to somebody who's afraid of change? Because do people come to you, they want to get better, but they fear change?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we just address that fear. We have them think about that, and we clear them on that fear. And essentially what you find, and you've experienced this in your treatment, is once we find something that's creating weakness in the body, which a fear will,
mm-hmm.
And then we clear it, we balance it, or we do the treatment, then we can reevaluate the body and have you think about that fear, and you'll notice that your arms are strong, your legs are even, they're symmetric, they turn in equally, the body's relaxed. So essentially, we've changed the way your body responds to your thoughts.
Okay, because I realized what we were talking about earlier is if there is a weakness, the body has got to be using that weakness to prevent us from making an effort that the body says may hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
So we hold ourselves back for the sake of safety,
mm-hmm.
not really being aware that we're limiting the quality of our lives.
Absolutely. And, you know, we may show up in some pain in the body or hormonal imbalances, but it also shows up in the way we relate to our children,
mm-hmm.
the way we relate to our husbands, the way we produce at work, the amount of money we make. It relates to how we sleep. It relates to our fatigue or our energy level. It relates to every single thing in our life.
Do you have some examples in terms of how relationships have changed after people had your work?
Yeah, my favorite is working with women who have been working on getting pregnant but have had trouble doing that. And I know lots of people who spend tens of thousands of dollars on infertility drugs, and sometimes they may get pregnant and then there's still that fear built in. Oh no, am I going to lose the baby? I know a lady that happened. She has triplets and she ended up losing all of them. Yeah, and you know, now I'm have the great pleasure of working with a couple who has had the trouble of conceiving, and come to find out, the lady, she had only four menstrual cycles a year,
mm-hmm.
and I've been seeing her 12 weeks because she's coming into her third cycle, so I know that we're just rebalancing the body to its natural flow, and that's part of nature for that to happen. And that intention behind wanting to have a baby is there, then it'll happen. So, yeah, I love doing that. I love working with women like that.
So you've been doing this since, I'm trying to remember the numbers here. About
for 8 years.
8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And how do people find you?
You can go to my website.
QuantumSuccessMechanics.com.
QuantumSuccessTraining.
Training. QuantumSuccessTraining.com.
So, beyond the best I have found that it's essential for people not to just get balanced, but to really learn how to embody this new way of being.
Because it's not familiar to them.
Right.
Do people revert?
The work that we do is, it won't turn, it won't change. You know, when we clear out subconscious interference, it won't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Not unless you choose it to be so. You know, you can always choose, well, I'm going to, never mind, I'm going to go back and, you know, do whatever to so-and-so because that does, you know, whatever. So you can choose yourself to go anywhere you want to go. But if you're choosing to show up in my office, then you're choosing to move forward in your life because that's what I attract. So people, I don't see them revert. I do see them hold themselves back.
Yeah, no, you said something important, basically, because there are people that want to go to the doctor and get a pill and give the doctor the responsibility to make me better. Well, you're saying when people choose really to make themselves better,
yes.
You're a facilitator, but they really have the responsibility.
Absolutely.
So that's very important for people to know.
Yeah, that is. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, and it's a choice. You know, some people would prefer to take drugs and imagine things are getting better. I just have to question, if you stop taking the drugs, what happens then?
Mm-hmm.
And my second question, if you keep taking the drugs, what happens then?
Okay. Well, on those lines, I mean, do you work with cigarette smoking and drug addiction?
Absolutely.
Can you have some stories there?
I do. I helped lots of people get off cigarettes. It's really easy.
It's really easy.
Yeah.
You heard it here, folks. It's really easy.
It's really easy. If you want it, uh-huh. You want it. You got to want it. The drug addictions, I've helped with that. As a matter of fact, I have a lady that I'm working with now. When she started seeing me, she was on 8 different medications, one of them methadone.
Mm-hmm. That's very difficult to get off of.
Very difficult. Very. And another one was Xanax. Lots of painkillers. And she's down to 3 drugs now. One of them, I don't think she's even taking a methadone now. I think she may be completely off of that by now.
But underneath that is some kind of a psychic pain that she's anesthetizing herself against.
Absolutely. And when we remove that pain through BEST, then the drugs become unnecessary once again.
Because mm-hmm. So you get, you know, there's working with the symptoms and there's getting the underlying issue that actually is the cause of the symptoms.
Right, and that's what we address with BEST.
Mm-hmm. And weight issues?
Absolutely, yeah. As a matter of fact, I have a 90-day program that I run for women. It's called 90 Days to Your Best Body. Get ready to wear a sexy red dress this the last one was this holiday season, so
mm-hmm.
We'll be coming into the swimsuit season, so the next one will be starting in the end of February or the beginning of March. And I had a lady, she started out size 18-20, and she got down to a 14 in 9 weeks.
Okay.
It was really, really great. See, she is glowing. I have another woman that I've been working with her for 8 weeks, and she's lost 25 pounds. So, you know, everyone's different. And the body heals in priority. So if someone comes in and they say, I want to lose weight, well, if they've got some underlying health conditions, whenever we do treatment, the body's going to heal what's most important for their survival first, and it may not be the weight.
That's a very good point.
So
give us some examples.
Well, an example would be if someone had a heart condition,
mm-hmm.
You know, and we didn't know it. Then the body has to heal the heart first.
And you can't lose weight too fast because that can be a shock to the system.
It can be a shock to the system, and if you want to keep it off, you can't lose weight to create health. You have to get healthy to lose the weight.
Okay.
Which is a completely different way of looking at things. People think, oh, I have high blood pressure, I need to lose weight. No, we need to get healthy so your blood pressure goes down and your weight comes off.
Right.
And there's a way of doing that, and we address we have a holistic practice, so we address what you eat, what you drink, exercise, breathing, thinking.
Okay. How about some of the, well, how about Lyme disease? Have you worked with people with Lyme disease?
I have worked with people with Lyme disease.
Can you talk about that? Because that's a real problem that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah. Well, once again, the body is built to heal itself. Just like with any virus or any bacterial infection.
Because Lyme is really complex. You know, kind of an infection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It sure is. And in my experience with it, it takes a little while to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, we got to get to why did you attract it?
I invited that tick to bite me?
how many ticks may have bitten other people who have Lyme's and they don't contract the disease.
Are they latent carriers?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm just saying there's a reason. Everything that happens in your experience, there's a reason for it, and you've attracted it to learn and grow.
Okay, so that goes to the quantum physics level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, there's every experience has a purpose.
Not going to argue with you. I'm trying to think of others, because for a lot of people, the weight's a big one, and smoking. I was thinking like, candida, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome,
anxiety, depression, all of it. It's all...
Oh, yeah, depression's a major one.
Yeah, it is a major one, and I love to see that lift because I know what it feels like to be there. I do.
Well, you had the weight and the bipolar issues, so I'm sure depression was a part of that for you.
Mm-hmm. Eating disorders are another one.
Yeah.
I was actually bulimic as well. So.
Were you in denial about it?
About my bulimia? No.
Okay.
No, I knew it, but I just hid it, you know.
Okay.
And I just thought that's how I was going to lose weight, you know. I just wanted to lose weight. I wanted to feel secure. I wanted to feel like somebody was going to accept me, and, you know, all those things would lead me to do things that were unhealthy.
All right, so I'm not that greatly educated in bulimia as opposed to anorexia, because I understand that anorexia is a real complex mental kind of connection to that.
It is. Anorexia, basically, you don't eat. Bulimia, you...
You binge and purge.
Binge and purge, absolutely. I tried the anorexia. It didn't work for me. I like to eat.
So how do you work with somebody with anorexia? And especially if they're not really, to themselves, maybe being honest about it.
Yeah, you know, number one, I'm very selective with the people that I choose to take into care.
And how can you tell?
I do a thorough consultation. And we go through a questioning process, and we determine if we're a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I only have two hands, and I only have a limited amount of hours in the day, and I really want to work with people who are absolutely committed to changing, to making a change. I'm here to help them. I'll support them in any way I can and balance them and remove the interference that makes it impossible for them to do it on their own. So in the future, they can actually fly. I like to refer to myself as a mother bird. I like, feel like I have this nest, and I've got all these baby birds, and, you know, I'm just teaching them, oh, look, you have wings, look, and then I toss them out of the nest, and they actually fly, and, you know, after a while, they're welcome if they want to come back and get some maintenance and reacquaint themselves with themselves, then they're welcome to do that.
All right, because you were saying that once you've done the work, the blockage doesn't return. But if somebody maybe hasn't quite gotten to a place of 100% confidence, they may develop new issues. When you say maintenance, is that what you're talking about?
Well, we live in a stressful world.
There's that.
Yeah, we live in a stressful world. There's always taxes, traffic, kids, bosses, rent, you know.
Lying politicians.
Right, there you go. I mean, it's always something, right? Not to mention EMFs and all the radio frequencies that we're doing, involved in, the computers, the cell phones, you know, there's toxins everywhere in our water, in our food. It's just constant bombardment to our bodies. So, you know, we can detox the body through this system as well.
Actually, I know there's practitioners who will say, you know, their offices are EMF-free, they won't allow wireless systems, et cetera, as they're balancing and clearing their clients. And my thought about that is, well, they do that in a pure environment, but then what are they doing to protect their clients? So they walk back out into this frequency-laden, overexposed world.
Yes, I hear you. You know, there are actually things that you can get. We have some actually in our office. They're pendants that you wear, and they protect you. They have like a 600-foot radius around you to protect you from different frequencies and things like that. You know, I don't necessarily wear mine all the time. I feel like that our bodies adapt to our environment.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why it's good for kids to grow up playing in the dirt.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, what have I not asked you yet that you'd like the world to know about the work you do?
You know, what I'd just really like the world to know is that this is in my opinion, is that this work is so absolutely vital to the evolution of the people on this planet that I recommend that everybody gets balanced. If it's not by me, by another practitioner, and if it's not by another practitioner, at least check on mortar.com, see what they have to offer. They have a seminar called Best Life Intensive.
It's BST or BEST?
BEST.
Best Life Intensive.
No. BST is the acronym for Bioenergetic Synchronization Technique. That's the technique that I've practiced. BLI is Best Life Intensive.
Ah.
It's a seminar that the Mortars actually put on to introduce people to the work, to really help people understand what it's about and how they can get involved in their own healthcare. I guess the main thing is ask yourself, what do you want?
When did Dr. Mortar first develop this technique?
Well, it was in 72 when he first started getting the information.
So it's been almost 40.
35 years.
Yeah. And how many practitioners would you say there are at this point around the country?
About 1,500 worldwide.
Worldwide, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're not that many.
No, not that many. And he's actually opened it up to families or people who aren't doctors or licensed practitioners. They have a certain line of education that they can do that will help them learn it. Because the Mortars, just like I do, they want everybody to know how to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody, if we had a practitioner in every home, then the whole world would be lighter, you know?
Yeah, that's sort of if enough people start meditating, that will lift.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really and truly, what would it be like to live in a world where everybody chose to see the good in things?
Well, I'm working on that one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, Brandy, it's been, considering that I invited you on about 5 minutes before we started the show, it's been a very wonderful hour.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
And so again, tell them the name of your website.
QuantumSuccessTraining.com.
Okay. And from there, if they're not living in the Sonoma County area, they can still get information about one of those 1,499 other practitioners somewhere around the world.
Absolutely. Or a workshop that I'm doing or the Mortars are doing and 90-day programs that can be done simply online or via the telephone. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, and thank you all for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday night at 9 p.m., and if Don's listening, pick up Jan Sircone's CD and take people out for the evening. Thank you all, and good night.
Thank you.
This is Pete Seeger, and you're listening to BBS Radio.
.com, and stay tuned to BBS Radio.